Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights, then you stand. Watch out for the man, pouring drugs in your land. Guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, COINTELPRO. Don't he open any letters, hit this with the COINTELPRO. Whip some change, whip some change. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point fingers not acting, just complain. Started didn't fight, just strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, they just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck and throw they wouldn't shoot they weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sodder. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a sodder. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Body kill they brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on a spoon with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the states. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA agents. Everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. No conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna sign and touch us on the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains, the American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Welcome back home. That's right. Welcome home to Black Power Radio. And I am your host, Sheikh Ali Mel Akbar Abdullah Kareem. We're in the most talked about city in the world, Washington, D.C. Make no mistake about it. Our main man, Benjamin Banneker, put all this in the right perspective for us to enjoy the benefits of all the rain on the plane, but not of his name, because he made a city that did not flood, regardless of the rain. D.C. doesn't flood because of the genius of our scientists, our inventor, our surveying engineer, the most honorable Dr. Benjamin Banneker, didn't put in no flood in the mix of Washington, D.C., preferably called here on Black Power Radio, Banneker Town, if you want to say Bannekerville, and we ain't mad at you. But the genius of all of our inventions, the genius of all of our great potential, And all of our patents have been swept under the rug, stolen, and the legacy of all those great ones that brought the great inventions and the great patents, that legacy was, it was covered up. There's been a massive cover-up in an attempt to do to erase the African presence in America with the 3 Ks, and some might give it 4 Ks. I think I'm writing in at least 4 Ks these days. But nevertheless, those folk who sought to cover up the contributions of African people on this land, on these shores, from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean, they have done so much dirt to us. So many multiple dastardly deeds have been done to us. And we now seek reparations for all of the dirt that has been done. But tonight we do have all praise is due to Allah, the guardian, evolver, the cherisher, the sustainer, the creator of all of the worlds. We do have a pertinent cross-examination question for you and your crew. And that is, do you interact with our youth? And that is a question that you should process and give it some great thought processes before giving your answer here tonight on Black Power Radio, because I am concerned with our youth, and I've become somewhat of a fair cross-examiner, if you would, to go after the substance and the juice concerning the youth, and I have many success stories to tell about the city of Washington. But we know indeed you do have your own success story to tell tonight. Do you interact with our youth? And how have you equipped the youth for competition at this hour in a system that is apparently bent on our extermination through our youth? If they don't let the youth flourish in the best of their talent, then how can we say that we have a future generation that will manifest as a nation or carry on the legacy of the ones? Even with this said, we have been able to function under duress and become successful in every field of endeavor, especially the endeavors of our choosing, because we were forced into the boxing and wrestling and all that, and gladiator-type sports. We were forced into some of that. You know, we can get the greatest, the best out of this buck here. See, the buck was symbolical of somebody that could either reproduce well or someone of strength and stature that would make a future slave of some kind that would serve the purpose of the ones that have positioned themselves as slave masters in this so-called New World, the 13 colonies, the so-called New World. And they have come up to produce a better Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and some more stuff. A better National Guard has come out of this group called the 13 colonies, huh? Just a few years ago, all other nations were well established, and America played catch up and passed them. Because of our slave labor, they were able to catch up with the competition, pass them. With no Navy, they defeated the bloody Brits because of the stratagems of war that was taken from the African ex-plantation slave gave them stratagems of war against the enemy. And they became successful in war. That's why we always ask, even in the hood, they say, when are they going to start another war, man? We're getting ready for war here. My father was, oh, man, he descended out of some mighty warriors, Army Q Willis, Jack Yates, and all of these great ones that Robert E. Lee and their so-called Civil War, those that descended out of Crispus Attucks in the Revolutionary War. It's a mindset, a determination to win. It is a use of skills and a certain amount of a dependency on divine intervention in the affairs of the 13 colonies. And we have been here in America for, they say now, there are about 400 years of our enslavement, and enslavement has not yet been totally abolished in America with the 4 Ks. I've added a K, the 3K, A-M-E-R-I, and then K-K-K, and then I go C-K-A, because you got to kind of stretch that piece on out, because they have not completed the unfinished business. We have unfinished business with the founding fathers, the current fathers, with your father and mother. We got unfinished business up and around here today, and we will pick no bones about getting you straight on reparations and some more stuff. So we just say, man, we up and running. So over there. We'll be right back.
your mother, love your father, love your sister, love your brother, love your brother, love your mother, love your brother.
Don't go and talk about my father.
Don't you dare deny him. We're here at Black Power Radio just getting on board here and kicking it with our favorite artist, Marvin Gaye, and he brings us up many times with the tune called God is Love. And we are, again, happy to be here at Black Power Radio. I'm your host, the Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem, and we're rocking in your ear hole right here in Washington, D.C., a potentially fair city, and we hope that you have brought your best game tonight. We're going to talk about how do we and do we actually interact with our youth, and do we team up with our youth to allow their ideas to flourish throughout our metaverse or universe in what we're doing at this hour. So we want you to buckle your seatbelts for an exciting episode of Black Power Radio, and we will go probably directly to our phone lines. We have a few folk online out there in the West Side. We have our beloved brother, Double R, is out in Los Angeles, California. We're going to go see if we can wake that up. And 951-551, you're actually live right here on Black Power Radio, and we're rocking from the East Side to the West Side. And right now, we're rocking the West Side. So, Brother Double R, welcome to Black Power Radio, and you're live right here on the Black Power Radio Show. How are you this afternoon?
My black people. My black people. Black power.
Black power.
Yeah. That's what we're doing on these youth, though. This is my solution. Right now, we got to study our history ourselves on the web. You know what I mean? We can just... if they don't take that CRT away from our youth, because that's the most powerful, that's a part of genociding. If you look at it. That's how to get through our youngsters. They're going to keep them programmed like robots, you know what I'm saying, like other generations, you know, turned into. Now we ain't got no excuse. So forget about changing law this and law that and waiting for that. We need to step up ourselves and teach one. Each one teach one. For 1 hour, you know, when you get out of school, study your history. Give them a topic. You can turn right now on a reparation task force. I'm the president of the 1619 Reparations Party. But what we're doing right now is we trying to get everybody to, hey, stop going Democrat, stop going Republican. Leave their votes alone. Don't vote. We vote propositions only. But our thing is that this, now we waiting on you trying to get just history, our own history through K through 12 is crazy. It's genociding us. That's another part of genociding us. So now we got to step up, tell our kids 1 hour a day, 1 hour a week, however you want to do it. You can go to the reparation task force, all the evidence, everything. We got shiploads and shiploads and shiploads of evidence. Teach them that. Teach them about the post-traumatic slave syndrome we're going through now. You know, there's a whole lot of information. California was a slave state. You know, it's certain things you find out. You can go to every meeting from the first one all the way to the one up to now, and you can look at the whole meeting on YouTube. And kids ain't got no excuse to find out their history. So we're going to knock that off there. But since we're getting down right now, I got a special guest, too. I got my brother right here, Big Money Griff from L.A. He got a lot to talk about, too, about the L.A. stuff. Big Money.
Ungawa, Black Power. Wakanda, Black Power. All right, brother King. All I can say, brothers, is that this is another wonderful week where we can now take a stand for you. And it's been our tradition in the past as Black African-American people. It's been our tradition, if we wasn't under a certain cocaine condition, that if we spared a rod, we would spoil the child. So we cannot continue to spare a rod to spoil the child. If you see that child at 1 or 2 years old taking that glass thing off the coffee table, tell him no or tell her no, and if she or he don't want to do a no, then you have to hit that hand and let them understand that they are not to touch that until they become of age. But Akbar, I want you to understand that in D.C., there's a sister that's named Aria Scales. She deals with land, she deals with real estate, and she deals with commercial. Now, this is aside from the kids. I understand that, but I just wanted to drop it like it's hot, because she's in D.C., and she's with the National Coalition of Black Women in D.C. She's the president. Her name is Aria Scales, and I'd like for you to get with her and see what we can do with this land, because we're talking about land. I want us to talk more about it and show how we can be about it when we talk about land in our neighborhoods, our plots in our neighborhood, and commercial land, and things of that nature. So I need you to get a little more in depth on where we're going with that, okay, brother? I need you to understand that, and that's where that's at. Now, last week I mentioned to you guys about how I had an indelible impression with the Nation of Islam, Tony Muhammad, when I went down to the police commission and impressed them to not have cars as an excuse in their police report as a deadly weapon. Well, what I failed to tell you guys was that I left an indelible impression on their heads. This young man, who was 13 years old, was shot in the back of the head 13 times. And they was trying to say that the reason why they shot him in the back 13 times was because his car was being used as a deadly weapon. Well, when I got through with them, when I said, well, how in the world can you tell me that this car could be used as a deadly weapon when you shot him bam, 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 bam. When I got through with them on that, Akbar, they said, oh, hell no, we can't allow this no more, because we teach our police officers stand on both sides of the car. And it was that moment. People got jealous and envious of me. But that's the extent that I take it to give you a better perspective as to where I'm coming from when I not only presentate but demonstrate. And it's very important as a community activist, I share that with you at the age of 73. Okay, now I got to move on, because it's very important that I mention a little bit about the Bible. And I was raised throughout my life with the Bible, and there's some passages in the Bible that tells us the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Now, I don't know what it says in the Quran. I don't know what it says in the other Bibles, but that's your job. That's your job to share with us what it says in those Bibles. But in my Bible, it tells us that, quite frankly, not only do you spare the rod, you spoil the child, but a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And we all know that when we talk about our youth, we cannot waste their minds. So I'm asking the youth to be very observant and to absorb, just like a sponge. When you put it underwater, soak up all the knowledge and wisdom that you can possibly squeeze up, because nobody can take it from you once you got it. Once you got it, you got it. And so it's that aspect that I have to take it to, to give you a better perspective as to where I'm coming from.
Go ahead. So, Brother,
Brother
Professor
Griff, yeah.
Money Griff, I want you to hold that point for just a second. I had to reach out to Dallas. I got Dallas and Mississippi holding. They got something to share, and you're going to be here in it. As long as Brother Double R is here, you're going to be here. And so just hold that statement for a second as I pick up our beloved brother. That's right out there. Brother Divine is in Norfolk, Virginia, but via, he's going to give you an update. He's going to give you via. He's in Norfolk, via Dallas, Texas, and he's got an important thing to say to you. And so I'm going to pick up Divine right there, and I got Mother Patricia Muhammad waiting in Mississippi. So come on and talk black to us, Brother Divine of Dallas through Norfolk. Come on and talk black. You're live on
peace,
Black Power Radio at 972 in the Peace, Peace. Power to the people.
Power to the people. Peace, peace, brother. And I wanted to say Black Power to the family. And assalamu alaikum to the brotherhood and the sisterhood.
Wa alaikum salam.
So I wanted to say that you make a valid point, what I heard earlier, brother, and a part of building and sparing that rod is we gotta also know that this structure that we're calling the Bible, identity. You know, a part of identity is being able to witness something, being able to witness truth. And truth is self-evident, right? And the thing is, these inalienable rights, right, are already a part of our divine will and our divine nature. This is also in the structure of the Bible, but people don't realize that a part of that Bible has an identity crisis going on. We identify with saying the white man this, the white man that. Well, just I believe it was about 4 years ago during COVID, there was an excerpt that I was looking up on and studying, and these archaeologists and these white scientists, and I say white, and I'm talking about our Caucasoid type of brother, our brothers that have been, they call them the Troglodyte nigger or the Troglodyte nigger, right? And these the brother of a lighter pigment. I say brother because this is exactly who this tribe was. These were our tribe. I'm going to the evidence. We're doing the identifying part. All right. So I went from sparing the rod and I'm going to the evidence. A part of that rod is they said that Jesus was the rod. So when you spare the child, what you are sparing them from is truth, and truth is self-evident. Okay, so it's not about literally striking the child, and I'm gonna bring up an important part. A lot of people don't know this, but I also study psychology as well, and some of the most profound children who are highly more more capable and able and can prove that they're able to receive information. These are children that have never been struck. These are, look it up, I've studied geniuses, people that are in GP honored classes. That means they're able to receive information and also give it. And you can study it. This has been studied all throughout time. I'm breaking this down for a reason. Let's go back to identity, right? A part of that is being able to witness, being able to establish truth. And a lot of people have a identity crisis going on with themselves, but they also force that identity crisis onto the youth. One thing that we have to realize is that the Most High gave us all this ability to establish discernment or truth or his nature or in his spirit, right? This being said, it don't matter how much lies you put in front of someone that is gifted with the truth, someone that is chosen, they're going to be able to not sit well with it, and they're going to be able to refute, whether it be now or later. The whole point is the rod and the truth and the iron authority is the evidence of wisdom, which is the true nature of all things. We have to have a specific order or a specific level of structure in place, and it's not always striking. Striking is necessary sometimes, like he said. Do agree with that. It is necessary sometimes because you don't want that. What if that child? What if that child actually has a mental disorder and born with it, and you actually know this because you can see that the child is not functioning like others. So you might strike it, or you might, I wouldn't say strike like how people would say strike. Well, you might have to yank that child away from the fire because you done pulled him away for so many times that he's not receiving a message. That don't mean beat the snot out of him. What that means is you got to set up a new structure for that child so he won't enter that fire because that child doesn't know.
Right.
That child.
I want you to hold that point. Let that go fire, Brother Divine. He's
yes,
bringing it today on the culture understanding cipher. That's today's mathematics, and he's strong in it. He's got strong
yes,
wisdom and knowledge with it. But I've got to open up to our beloved sister who's in Mississippi.
Let's get it.
Going into
please
Tulsa, and she's armed and extremely dangerous with the truth today. And we're going to bring our beloved sister, Patricia Muhammad, who's bringing an event to the Midwest and where bad men dare not to trod. We want to welcome Patricia Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum. Power to we the people, and welcome to Black Power Radio.
Walaikum salam. Thank you very much. I've been enjoying the conversation. How's everyone this evening?
Fantastic. How are you?
Okay, great feedback. Blessed, wonderful, and everything. Well, thank you for allowing me to speak. And I am here to speak about our upcoming event in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the 102nd commemoration of the massacre at Black Wall Street in Tulsa. And our theme is Black Wall Street after the massacre. So I'll be speaking more about that, and you can get some more information at our website at United Black Wall Streets of America, Inc. But just to say a few words, I guess, about the theme with respect to that, because what we are attempting to do, and with the help of Allah, actually carry out, is bring knowledge and wisdom to our people during this time in Tulsa. And we'll be talking about the making of Black Wall Street and leading into our 2025 commemoration of the Renaissance of Black Wall Street, because a lot of people think about just the massacre, but we have to know that Black Wall Street also had a renaissance. Just to tie in with what we're talking about this evening, when we talk about our children and and how we spend time and guide them, the rod is a symbol of authority. It is a stick, it could be a bar or a stick or something. But what the shepherd did with the rod was not always hit the sheep or whatever. It was a way of putting that rod there to guide the sheep. If the sheep went astray, to guide the sheep back into play. And recall when God told Moses to speak to the rock. And instead of speaking to the rock so the water would come, Moses used his rod, you know. And because of that, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. So the rod, its authority is not so much striking as Moses did, which was wrong. It was speaking. And it is also that rod is our life. We guide our children through our life and through also the things that we do as we live our lives. We live in our lives not just for ourselves, but for the blessings of our children, of our grandchildren, so that so that they are blessed, and we make decisions based on how it will impact the seventh generation, so that we have go from one generation to another. We don't just make any type of decision. We make the decision because that decision will come to fruition in that seventh generation. And just to kind of sum up everything, when we look at the children and our community and our condition, we can't just look at the children. We got to look back seven generations. What decisions were made seven generations ago that now impact what we see with our children. So anyway, the sparing the rod. You're right. If you spare the rod, that means you're not living that life. You're not putting that Ten Commandment up on your wall, and you're not speaking and living it in your home. And a lot of people say, well, our problem is because there's no Bible in the school. No, the problem is because there's no Bible in the home, or the Ten Commandment doesn't live within people. If it lives within the human beings and within the adults, then it will continue to live in the community. So, yes, let's live our lives. Let that guidance be our rod. And when it is, our word is the authority that we have over our children. Now, I can just look at my children. I can just speak a word, and they actually make a change in their discipline because my word in my life is the rod, the symbol of the authority that is given to our family. Thank you.
Alaikum salam. We appreciate it. And there's your protege out there somewhere.
Thank you, sir.
I hope she's listening.
Oh, man, that was powerful.
From Los Angeles.
Double R, get back on, man.
I'm a doctor. Dr. Critical Truth Bay should be in the midst of Dr. Patricia Muhammad, I believe. And she must have to go.
Black Power.
There, are you there? Black Power, how are you?
All right. Right now we're in the middle of feeding the homeless, so what are we talking about here? Black Power?
What are we talking about here? Do we interact with our youth? That's the topic of the night. Do we interact
Black Power.
With our youth, Dr. Truth? Or do we team up with them in our own universe? And do we strive to make the metaverse? Are we reaching out to broaden our perspective with our youngsters into their technosphere and into things that they're doing in the streets of America, especially in Los Angeles and in Jackson, Mississippi, let's say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think right now the youth are missing the components of a safe space to create. They are technology savvy, Generation Z, they have a different mindset. So everything is rapid. Everything is microwaved. So a lot of the youth right now, their lack of critical thinking is due to the fast-paced environment that they have on their phone. Their phone is basically their livelihood. It is their life. And at any circumstances, even in school, or if they get in trouble, if you take away the young person's phone, that's like a death sentence right there. So we have to be mindful of creating these spaces and where our kids can go into somewhere and create a song or shoot a music video, engage in artificial intelligence, create online businesses. They don't have these technology centers for them to do that. So you may have a company or organization that may offer some type of computer lab at certain hours, but it's not enough. So I live in South LA, originally from South LA, and here we have nothing but churches, dispensaries, liquor stores, but the youth centers are few, far in between. And the ones that are available, like No Place Like Home, is a primary youth center that has the technology for the kids to use, but it's only open from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. It's not even open on Saturday and Sunday. So it's really, it needs to be more of these warehouses, these MTPDs, that we convert them into technology centers so young people and adults can create and expand their entrepreneurship using online methods. So this is the way that things are going, electronic-wise. We have to catch up with the times. But I feel that in the case of Ralph Yall, who we will do the full breakdown tomorrow on May Day, Ralph Yall, 16 years old, talented musician, and he didn't have an opportunity to really exhaust his talent because he was busy living life. He was busy.
What?
Please. So Ralph Yall, as I mentioned before, him being a talented musician, did not have the creative spaces available to him. So he had to become sort of like a father figure, because I don't think the father was in the home at the time that he had to go pick up his two twin brothers and mistakenly went to the wrong house. So these are things that we need to avoid as far as having our young people be subjugated to the lack of creative spaces for them. And if we can take the time to build these spaces for them, this will engage in all that they need. They don't ask for much. They don't need much. But once they have a location to create, 24 hours, 7 days a week, they'll be good to go.
Can you add this, please?
Yes.
Because remember you had told me about the money for the animals more than money for the youth. Can you please talk about that?
Absolutely, absolutely. So LA City budget just came out last week, and all of last week was about 27 hours deliberating. Los Angeles budget, that comes to fire, LAPD, homelessness is a huge budget. So what was most disturbing from this budget, and this is from Karen Bass, who is the so-called first African-American woman mayor, the budget for animal welfare is $50 million that they allocated for animal welfare. But when you look at youth services, the same budget for LA City, it is breaking a little over $2 million. So, family, we already know that there are certain cities that cater to animals more than young people. But when you actually see a budget that gives $48 million more for dogs and cats than LA youth, then you say, it's not really our problem. It is the problem of these politicians that we keep electing over and over again. And so this is why I tell us black family, we got to be politically sound. There is no way around that. The only way I caught that is because I follow the budget. I'm at city council. I'm at county council. So even though this is not my language, I had to force myself to learn the political jargon. And so every city has a budget season, you know. So every city, they go through the budget every year. You need to follow that, if anything, to follow that every year. But this year is historic because Karen Bass, like I said, is the first time after the State of the City address that she did last week. This is the first time that under her jurisdiction that she was able to allocate this budget. And so there's a lot more that we'll break down concerning not only the budget, but how we need to mobilize ourselves, black family. When I say that we need to self-govern ourselves, it's for reasons just like this, that we need to have an alternative governance. Now, another thing, there's something called Reimagine. Reimagine is the budget that they took away from LAPD in order to pour it into community programs. So a lot of you heard of the terminology defund the police, right? Defund the police. We've been hearing that nationwide. Now, defunding the police actually translated from taking the money away from LAPD into community programs. So what that is called is called Reimagine LA. Now, Reimagine LA, unfortunately, had $150 million that they took away from LAPD. It was supposed to go into the community. But guess what, black family? The $150 million was split between 15 councilmen and women, council persons, and each of them had their own nonprofits. So every district that was supposed to have, let's say, an average of $16 million per district, LA City is broken up into 15 districts. $16 million per district, but they only gave at least, at most, $5 million out of that $16 million. So where is the other $11 million, black family? I want to keep you updated on this specifically because we're going to follow up with it this whole entire month of May. Starting May Day, I'm going to break down not only the budget in LA, but in certain other cities, because we need to really know what these politicians are doing and why our neighborhoods and our children, especially our black families, are suffering more than ever. So this is why
what's our solution to handle that one? Are you black?
Our solution is for us to individually take the time to go down to the city council. We mentioned this solution several times. A lot of people don't like the answer, though. It's called self-governance. That means get your ass up and go to your local city council, take a day off, and learn about your local city council. This is the most important thing that has to happen.
Are you talking self-government?
Now, we're actually downtown right now feeding the homeless, but I wanted to chime in. But all in all, Comrade Double R, thank you for asking that question, and we're going to say it. We're going to say it over and over again until we all get it. We need to have each and every single one of us hold each other accountable. We need to hold yourself accountable. If you're not attending your local city council, then any information that we disseminate is not going to make sense. We're not going to continue to be spoon-fed while we wait for these politicians. Yes, we're not going to continue to spoon-feed ourselves while we wait for these politicians to feed us lies. We got to continue to be self-sufficient by knowing how your city is ran. You cannot be a national figure if you're not locally responsible. And with that being said, power to the people and black power.
Power to the people. Power to the people and black power to our national minister of justice. Dr. Critical Truth Day is rolling out there in L.A., and we've rolled together in L.A., and we know the problems, and we are fixing the goddamn problem. We're going out there to West Virginia on the west side, pick up Black Lightning. He's up there at 301-682. You're live in Black Power Radio.
Black Power, can y'all hear me out there?
You're loud and clear here at Black Power Radio. And plus you're Black
Power. I'm so happy to be here. Up here, cruising in the mountains of West Virginia, and you never know if you're going to go into the black hole or not. Yeah. I was speaking. When I'm sort of thinking, you know, that can be a good thing, that can be a bad thing. I be thinking about a lot of stuff. I introduce myself to the national chairman? You don't never introduce me.
You're going to have to rock that mic. Get your mic straight, and we're going to come right back to you. We've got 872-272-201. Your mic is breaking up. I'm going to ask you to dial black in and press 1. Get in a place where you can keep your mic still and dial us back in, Black Power. At 872, you're live on Black Power Radio. 872, and we got some more Texas down there at 832. 872, you're live at 201. 872-201, you're live. Okay, trying to open up as many mics as we got here. Okay, 832, you're live. 832 at 845, you're live on Black Power Radio. And you can talk black to us. Black Power? Black Power at 832. 832-832. Okay. 832-845, you're live. We're about to move that mic. We're about to move it. Okay, these are the crews that say they want to get on live on Black Power Radio. We calling on them. What are they doing? They're ducking that mic. Come on and talk
Double
black.
R, 832. Get in.
Go ahead and talk. Who's calling?
Yeah, here we go. Go. Akbar. I want to talk to the brother from Texas that was talking about the, I guess you could say his
identity.
Brother Devine,
yeah, his identity when he was talking about his thesis and
he's
how he put a study out.
Yeah, we're going to get you. We're going to get you. We got one more line.
Okay, but I'm fired up and ready to go now.
Are you ready to go now? Drop it like it's hot. Come on. Professor Money Grip and Divine, you're one-on-one on Black Power Radio. Go for it, y'all.
Well, I wanted to say to the brother in Texas is that we're not all monolithic in our thinking. We don't all think alike, and we don't all respond alike. But there are certain babies, male as well as female, that can go into a supermarket and pull a can from another can and break down the whole stand. We know that our parents can look at you, tell you you better not do that, and they won't do it. And they're sparing the rod and not spoiling the child to where that child can embarrass them in the supermarket. But take that same scenario. That same scenario and say, Johnny, Bobby, Nika, because we don't call our kids by these names now, Nikki, don't put your hand in fire because it will get burned. Well, sometimes they might have to put their hand in fire to determine whether or not they're going to get burned. But I told you not to do that. Now, it's one thing to tell a child to do something and another thing to spank their hand and show them that they shouldn't do it when they put their hand in front of a doorway and get their hand their door slammed on their fingers and mash their fingers. So I just don't want you to misinterpret where I'm coming from. There are certain children that need discipline. And if you spoil that rod to that child, you're spoiling that child from having the kind of understanding of what is right and what is wrong. They don't know right from wrong until they do a wrong. And that's all I want to say to you, brother in Texas. Now, the sister in the Midwest, she was
Can
right
I respond,
on point.
Big bro?
Thank you,
peace,
sister.
Peace.
Yeah, but thank you, sister, in the Midwest. I wish I could be there in Black Wall Street, but the only problem is that I can't be at two. But I did want to drop that dime on that young boy that was in that elevator and was accused of filling that white girl on her butt and caused them to burn down Black Wall Street for coming to town looking for that young boy. And you know and I know that a white man felt her on her butt, and she blamed it on a black boy. And as a result, if only they would have left us alone. And that's every single city throughout the United States of America. If only they would have left us alone. Now, let me let you get yours in before I finish up on what we're talking about in terms of the black youth, because there's a lot more that I wanted to share about this black youth. But go ahead, brother from Texas.
Okay, so peace, and I appreciate your point of view, because it's well needed in the verse of, you know, actually using the rod. You know, we have to be able to present perspective so that people can be able to learn. I want to say this. So let's try the scenario in a different way, without the actual baby actually touching the fire. Let's say the actual mother, father, or whoever the person that who is supposed to have is supposed to have hold of the rod, right? Let's say the parent actually shows the baby an example, actually attempts to touch the stove or pretend like they touched the stove in order to show the baby that's not okay. And the baby is watching all the time, because the baby has no choice but to live in that divine feminine energy, that divine receive energy. So the baby's always looking for the mother and the father and whoever the God is. So the thing is, we are constantly not paying attention to their attention. And in response, like, I'm going to use it in another aspect to help you better understand that you don't have to commit wrong in order to learn right from wrong. If I sit up here and I show you that me not tying my shoes actually caused me to fall, and you actually witness it, did you have to fall to realize that not tying your shoes not tying your shoes would be, right or wrong? If you seen me fall, you seen me hurt myself, you seen that the result was I was not the same person after that fall. My instances, the way I moved, was not the same. I make this point because people keep forgetting Jesus or the Most High or whatever name that you got for that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of love, already went through it. And he actually taught us how to go through it. And how to go through it is actually being a witness of what is right and wrong. Meaning, you got programs out here like that program a lot of people refuse to talk about that these white people took control of called Your Baby Can Read. Well, Your Baby Can Read went over the principles of how to teach a child. It wasn't just by having them witness wrong things. What they did was they presented the evidence and the truth, and they put a visual in front of them for them to see that it, and they made sure the baby understood at an infant level. So people that actually took advantage of that program hit billions because it actually was teaching babies to read, infants to read. How? How is that possible? No child was hit in order for that child to know the difference of not doing something. No child was struck in order for that. These white people been using Your Baby Kareem since I was a baby, y'all. White people been using that program. Why did that program go under wraps? Why haven't any of our black community, I ain't going to say any, because it has been some black people that took advantage of the principles of how to teach. Everything has a divine order and divine structure, y'all. And if you don't understand what that is, you gotta wake up and learn it, because your way ain't been working. As soon as a child turns 14, they already ready to rebel because you ain't learning how to teach a child right. And that's facts. I'm talking to the youth. And they're telling me what's going on. And guess what? I receive
okay, yo,
it
yo,
and
yo,
I give
yo, yo,
that.
Bro, I got to interrupt with you with this one, homie. I know you went long-winded, but this double R here. I'm here now. Kelly.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm so bad.
Okay, but look, hey, about what you're talking about, that's just a rebellious from the way y'all talking. Well, if you study your history, you're going to know where you came from and where you're going to go. So right now, I think that you're confused. I'm not trying to disrespect you or anything, but I think you're confused on what you was taught. Whether you saw what you saw when you went out your first dope, you know what I'm saying, and looked at the streets, whatever, accepted you, whatever, that was wrong. Because if you look at the highest percentage right now, it's over 90% of black-on-black crime. So therefore, it ain't got better. So why y'all ain't being rehabilitated? Because y'all into the system that can't rehabilitate you. The first thing, y'all going to get on Christianity. Let me tell you this. The most powerful word I can tell you is agape. Agape is unconditional love. Y'all been learned homie and all this. That's brother love, brotherly love. If you want to be a Christian, look at definition of. I'm not here to dispute nobody from no other religion. Check this out. Agape is unconditional. We have to deprogram y'all, reprogram you with some agape, and then we going to move on. Because y'all been programmed the wrong way. We was programmed the wrong way at the time of ain't. The ones on this program ain't. Are you black?
I'm with you. I'm with you, Double R, in terms of that reprogram. Because when we look at the program, we know that the white man was the first one who took a stand when he put that white Jesus out there. But you know and I know that all our lives we've been told, huh, am I on?
Yeah, you are.
Here's where the rubber meets the road, guys. It's very important I emphasize this. That in the beginning, we know that the white man was the one who printed the white Jesus. But you know as well as I do that the Bible tells us that God was made in our image. Now, are you going to tell me that God is going to make somebody who is white have the Son be their enemy as opposed to the Son being their friend? We were brought here for one thing, and that was to produce cotton and tobacco and all this other stuff because we could work from sun up to sundown. Now, why am I sharing that with you? Because it's very important that it wasn't until the North and South War, and we fought in every war there was in America. We fought in every war. But I want to share this with you. Even though we follow the Marcus Garvey flag, which is red, black, and green, the black man, black woman's blood, we know that the red, white, and blue, if it wasn't for our slavery ancestors jumping into that North and South war, we would not have beat the South when it comes to the bars and the stars.
So yep. Now
but
that
let me end with
red,
this
white, and blue,
grip.
That red,
yeah.
That red.
Let me
just get this out and then.
Oh yeah, look, I got to close this one out so they can move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
The red, white, and blue flag belongs more to us than it belongs to them simply because Abraham Lincoln told you that he wanted us to fight in that war, North and South War, and that if we won, then we would be free slaves. And so the Southern slaves said, oh, hell no, I don't want to be a slave for the rest of my life. Y'all kick our ass. And that's what happened. So now you got to understand,
yeah.
This is no illusion of inclusion here. We know that Harry and Tubman brought over 100 people to the North to free them up. But you got to understand, brother, you got to understand that we are not monolithic in every way we think.
That part, but let me add with this. Let me close you with this one, Big Money Griff.
We're non-educated.
Hey, no,
so
Youngster, listen, Youngster. Youngster,
okay.
This the one, Youngster. You got to understand, when it went back to slavery, man was bucked in front of their family. And what took more effect was the woman and the child, the black child. So that's why you got the rebellious now. If you don't know what bucking is, well, I'm going to explain a little bit. The strongest slave was homosexualized relationship from a white man in front of their whole family. Now, that's what y'all have right now. It kicked in to the 10th degree. So if you don't respect us, go back to where it started. And we ain't that. Who got bucked? I yield black.
All right, so real quick, let me respond to that. We do understand that what I just said about evidence and about truth and about the rod, that's also a part of it. Helping the child understand where they came from, that is a part of it. But first, before a child can even understand that level or degree of intelligence and wisdom, for them to even be able to receive that, it has to be certain measures put in place for that child to receive love in general. You don't have to teach a child to love. The child already knows how to cling to their mother's titty when they first are born. No one taught the child how to do that. It was a natural instinct. But you do have to teach the child to function in this world like your function. That's just fact. In order to do that, you know that certain things, you got to be very careful what you present to them before the time is needed, before these certain early years. What I'm saying is the basic things that we are supposed to be teaching our children, we don't teach them because of the fact that we don't know them. We are self. When I say we are self, I mean the community as a whole. I'm not talking about me. But it is a lot of grown-up children that really don't know how to structure other children. These are adults that was never properly conditioned to be adults in this world. And that is the
But that's what programmed that. The Jim Crow
right.
moved us to be,
right.
make our 37-year-old not to still think like they 17 and 18. It's the Jim Crow.
Exactly.
Learn your history, bro. We know where it came from.
No, bro.
Now,
I
what's
don't
the
need
solution?
To learn my history, bro, because I've been about this probably way before you. I know I've met the Dr. Francis Crest Wilson. I met Dr. Ben Yosef. I'm a student of them. So you need one of the main things we got to do. Is
no, I'll be 57 in a little bit, bro. That's
we
the problem.
Thinking
y'all don't
want to
listen.
People.
I yield black.
That's the first part about it. We grown ups, but we have to know how to be grown up.
You ain't
so don't
grown.
Don't assume and don't assume anything, King. You shouldn't
what
do
you
that.
Assuming? I already know my history.
Right. Don't tell me what
you
I should know.
You got post-traumatic anxiety syndrome.
Me.
Accept
that's
it. Do the diagnosis of it. You told me this about being I got a wife that's got a doctor degree in psychology.
Bro,
you know,
I,
you
I
talking
trained
about you studying
with
it.
Doctor's degree. How about that? I trained
check
doctors
this out,
with
homie.
Doctor
She's
degree.
A professor, homie, got everything. But look, who you think
I trained
the test
professors.
Her?
Professors
when
come
you read
me.
The books.
So now
I
what?
Did.
What are we saying?
And I gave common sense over the white man's right. sense. Don't read that book. Everything you read ain't real. Trust me.
Yeah, but I don't subject myself to any book for one. I am God body, bro. So at the end of the day, what you telling me is irrelevant for the principle, which is before the book, from what I'm speaking.
What's irrelevant what
let
I said?
You know,
homie, don't
to go, and
me
to
like
go,
that.
And to go more
irrelevant?
In detail. Hold on, King. And to go more in detail, when I was speaking about identity crisis, this is the prime example 5 years ago that I was actually a witness to. Is that these archaeologists got on TV
and actually told the truth. They actually said that King James was an actual African king, an actual African
king.
Okay,
we know that. Get past that. We 1619.
Yeah,
so
that agape word that you're talking about, that is a native African word.
Man, I don't give a damn how you technology of it.
I'm talking up here is not even.
We should even be arguing on religion right now. It's about a relationship.
Oh, man, it's just the fact that you came off so strong saying something that you think I didn't know about, but you didn't properly vet.
Man, look at you, man. Agape is my word.
Take it from a brother like no other, man. I'm 73 years old. The examples that you gave, or let me rephrase that, the hypotheticals that you gave were not permanent, were not relevant to the situation. We were talking about our youth. Let's stay focused on our youth. How do we train our youth? What do we do to get our youth to understand that there's a better way in which to live their life? And I was merely using the example. I was merely using the example that if we spoil the rod, we'll spare the child.
That's
white people have been doing that all their lives, where they spare the rod and they spoil the child and say, Johnny, go get in the corner. Now, I know that some of our black children need to be put in the corner, but not all of our black children need to be put in the corner. There are some black children like myself, but see, I'm from a broken home. You're talking to a brother like no other from another mother west of the Mississippi, okay? I was born in Newark, New Jersey, raised in Inglewood, New Jersey by my grandmother, okay? But more importantly, I'm an L.A. brother now because my manhood is here. But now I say all that to say this, that we were talking about our children and how to spare the rod, that if we spare the rod, we're going to spoil the child. Many of our children don't know what they should and shouldn't be doing. For instance, if our parents smoke cigarettes, is it more likely that our kids are going to smoke cigarettes? Hell yeah. They do what they imitate what they see. And so what I'm trying to convey to you, particularly you, is that we need to be sure that each kid is not the same. Each kid is not the same. I agree with you on that, with your philosophy and ideology and your reading of the books. We're not monolithic in our thinking, but we do need to make sure that when we see our kids going the wrong way, we got to tell them the right way. My grandmother told me, she said, Mars, if you ever go to jail, don't expect me to come to that jail to visit you. That told me that I better not go to jail because I ain't going to have my grandmother come and visit me. Now, she didn't have to spoil a rod. She didn't spare the rod on my ass for that. But she told me that. But she told me that at an age where I could understand. So I need you to understand, as a black man, that we need some kind of implementation, a traditional implementation in place to where we can focus on how we need to raise our children in a traditional way that we have been doing in the past, but make it better. We're in a fast society now, so we have to be ahead of the curve. We got to talk about computer, and we got to talk about engineering in the schools. And I have to say this, that I'm with a group out here in Cali, and we're talking about the schools. The LA Unified School Board is one of the largest school boards in the United States of America, and we're talking about funding 140 schools, and in funding them, we're focusing on the black schools. And so I'm part of that, so you can rest assured that we're going to dot our I's and cross our T's when we talk about educating and putting them ahead of the curve, and I've shared with you already where I'm going with this when we talk about engineering and computer specifically. But we do know that our kids need to learn how to write, they need to know how to read, and they need to know how to do math. And I don't want our kids graduating from high school not being able to do that when they get ready to go into the real world. Now, there's so much more I want to share with you, But Akbar, they got me going, man. These youngsters got me going, man.
Now, I'll tell you right now, hitting on all cylinders. We got it live out there tonight. And I'm going to bring my main man, Mike, back to the mic. And here comes Black Lightning. And he's just going to share with you what happened yesterday. Was a phenomenal breakthrough in Black Panther history in the state of West Virginia. And we're just going to see if we can punch his button and see if Black Lightning is live. He had a bad reception earlier, but he's clear now. Go for it, brother. Black Power.
Black Power.
I was just jokingly saying that the national chairman didn't introduce me right. He introduced me by my title. But like Malcolm X said, my belief is Islam, but my, you know, but my social standing, so to speak, in my case, in his case, would be Black nationalism, you know? And if we separate ourselves on the context of religion, we'll never get anywhere. Now, as far as what we're doing up in West Virginia, we have the food and clothing pantry right there on in the heart of Martinsburg, giving out free food to the families. You know, they come in, they sign in. They got mental health programs. They send the home. They have a men's program, women's program. They help people go to shelters. Different women's shelters. A lady just got out of the shelter, and they give her, I think they said, like, an apartment for a year. And you get an apartment for a year. And, oh, yeah, and the Black-owned businesses, which I was advertising on my Facebook. So I was going to take some of them still shots and make them some flyers. And they were saying what we're going to do. Let's go down here and give it away in the park at an event, which I'll post up when I have more details on it, and give the proceeds of going to the poor and the less fortunate. And then it gets deep. It's like, okay. And then... And then what happened was, hey, a commercial break, $77 Bakers. If everybody want to donate to the cause, $77 Bakers. And I like to say it, like Dr. Umar said, $77 Bakers. All right. The youth, there's several youth up in West Virginia who's all their parents signed off on it. They like, they need some positive stuff to do. So you have them from 18. Well, I got to actually, shout out to our captain for West Virginia, duly appointed captain, and everybody wants to follow him into the Black Panthers, including the lady who's doing the program up there. Oh, and this is this. As long as we're talking about the program, it's the same building that I had sent as when we were looking for a land acquisition and buildings. And come to find out, the big building that's right across the street is still available, and it is owned by the government. So that might be a star. To work with, and I just want to throw that in there while it came across my mind. Y'all know I'll be forgetting something. Now the youth. So we got Sam. Our brother Sam. He's going to be leading it off with the men's program and leading off strong. He introduced me like 25 people, you know, and everybody is all about this, you know, so and all about the community. So all I'm saying is, as far as the youth, we have four, ranging from 18 to 24, you know. And then as far as I don't want to leave out the homeless. The homeless are going to be joining us over at the every other Monday. It's going to be every other Monday, and we're going to see if we can Zoom it. I'm going to see if we can do a Zoom and have it and shoot it out there live, because it's going to be good information for everybody on mental health issues, how to maintain yourself, basically. And I'll land on that, but I would like to say, in closing, as your revolutionary voice to the people, that when Adam Clayton Powell said, "What's in your hands, little slave boy? So I ain't got nothing but a sling, Lord." He said, "Well, go down to the brook." And I have nothing but a sling, and our enemies are mighty and strong and greater than we are. He said, "Well, go down to the brook and get a few stones, and you close your eyes if you want to, and nail back and kill the big Philistine of their army." And for right now, what do I have in my hands? Black power. And what am I going to do with it? Oh. Use it skillfully and effectively against the open and vicious enemies of our people. And I'll land on that and be black in a little while with another update. No, I got some entertainment for y'all in a little bit. Black power.
And by all means, remain revolutionary. Oh. We can pick it up at the top of the key. I don't know where Brother Shang or some of those that were online, but somebody was attempting to speak. We had some 872s and some 85 and the 951. And you can chime in if we missed you on the first round of 951. I know someone was about to drop it. And right now I've lost a portion of the studio that contains your number. So I opened up the mic because I knew I was going to lose it because of an alternate battery situation. So go right ahead and drop it on the youth. Are you interacting with our youth? And do you interact with our youth in a manner that you get into the universe and get into their metaverse at this hour? Now, who will be the first to speak and chime in on that one? My.
This Brother Divine, tap it back in. I would say, yeah, I'm interacting with the youth, but I think what's more important is how to interact with the youth. I'm going to say this testimony. Because this was what the Most High revealed to me on my journey in fighting and using black power. Like, shout out to the brother that spoke before, because we got black power in our hands. It's about how we use it and about recognizing. So when I was in Texas, you know, when I first got there, I was riding a train out there, and it was people around to witness this, and that to be the fact. So I heard about a young man shooting and killing an older gentleman on the train, on the train, the dark train in Texas. When I got there, shot him in the head for what was allegedly what the people on the train was saying was I was talking to a group of older gentlemen, you know what I mean, and you know they was well above 50. They was well above 50.
Can you hear me? Please mute up. We got one mic on Divine. One mic. Are you all hearing me? One mic on Divine.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Brother Iman. So they shot. They was talking. The older gentleman was telling me what happened because I didn't recognize it. I was on the same train that it actually happened on. But this older gentleman was shot in the face for what allegedly people were saying, for telling the young man to pull his pants.
Oh, my bad. Wrong person.
For telling the young man to pull his pants up. And you know, when I heard this, the Most High was just telling me to be quiet and listen to the older gentleman. So that's what I did. And I listened to these gentlemen, and they were just like, "See, that's what's wrong with these youth. They ain't got no home training. Like, you know, if I was they daddy, you know, I'd beat the snot out of them, boom, boom." This is what they saying. And I'm sitting and I'm listening. You know what I mean? I'm dressed well, as I always dress with that black power on. So I got my black suit on, and, you know, I'm dressed head to toe. Always in the suit, tie, and got my shoes. And I dressed that way because I walk and I was taught that way. So the brothers, they respected how I look. You know, so they greeted me with grace based on how I look. Okay, but I say this. They was talking about that scenario, and I'm like, dang, you know, that's sad. And,
You know, they having a heart-to-heart with each other, but they not really having a heart-to-heart. So they like, young brother, you different. I hear what you saying, you different. You know what I mean? But it ain't a lot of young brother. Most of the youth out here, they don't want to hear nothing from us older folks. They ain't got no home training. And they, you know, they retarded. And, you know, these they don't care. You can't talk to them. You can't talk to them. This is what they saying to me, right? And I said, you know what? I said, you know what, brother? I said, look, this is how the Most High worked, though. Check it out. I ministered to him, and I gave him the grace, and I told him, I said, it's all about how you speak to people. I said, I guarantee you that man that told him to pull his pants up sounded just like y'all. And one thing y'all got to realize is y'all don't know these children. Y'all don't know what they've been through. He was a young man, but he was still a young man. You never know what he went through to sit up there and talk and be like, look at you, man. Come on, man. It's people on the bus. Pull your pants up. How you going to do it? It's all, and man, I told him, I said, it's all about how you do it. So check out how the young high minister and laid down this discipline for the older gentleman. A young man came on the bus. He came on the bus with his pants. Y'all, I promise y'all, his pants was below his drawers, below, it was on his thighs. It looked crazy. It did. But I know the Most High was using this as a example of his grace, right? And the young man tatted up. I'm talking about got a little bandana hanging out his left side, blue flag, you know what they call it. And he get on the bus and his face balled up. He tatted up. You could tell the young man, you know, been through something, because look at his face. You know, he angry looking. Everybody looking at him like, ugh. Like, you know what I mean? Don't got no belt on. Everybody looking at him like that. I'm the only person smiling because I know what the Most High gave me. So everybody talking, you know, they mumbling, they talking, they looking at him, they making all these balled up faces at him. You know what I did? I said, peace, young king. I like them shoes you got on. Man, I promise you, out of everybody that was in the commotion, do you know that young man turned around and looked at me? He was like, I said, hey, King, with the blue shoes, the Jordans. I said, I like them Jordans. I never seen them before, man. Can I talk to you, King? Man, he turned around.
That's the key word,
man,
this brother
turned around, y'all. On his way walking to me, he was holding up his pants, y'all. He wasn't holding up his pants when he got on the shirt. He looking all balled up, none of that. He was doing what he pulled his pants up to come talk to me. Everybody witnessing, they like, what in the world is going on? He said, first of all, he had one hand holding up his pants, and he made sure he pulled his pants together because he didn't have a belt. I said, brother, look. I said, man, you got a lot of evil people in this world, man. So I said, but I want you to know something. What I just spoke to you, that's the truth, and I know you know it's the truth. You a king. I said, don't let nobody tell you different. I said, look, I'm looking at you, and I could tell you ain't got no belt on. What, you just got out? He said, yeah, man, that's crazy. How you know that? I said, bro, that's half of our brothers that's being forced into this society. I said, bro, look here. Take this $20. I want you to go get a belt. And I said, I want you to realize this. It is going to be a lot of people that's going to misjudge you, man. I said, but you got to focus on what got you out of the prison. Why you able to walk around with everybody? It is a lot of demonic people out here that don't know love and don't know the spirit that got you out. I said, but you realize this. You make sure you tell them you talk to me today. And I said, you can call me. He's like, man, I ain't got no phone. I said, look, I'm going to tell you where to go out here on the street. This is in Dallas, y'all. And people witness this. You go here. It's a government program called Assurance that'll help you get a phone. I said, I want you to be careful how you use that phone because it's given to you by the government. And you know they ain't got your best intentions. I said, but you make sure you call me. Everybody look at it. Do you know them older brothers that was just talking crap? They was like, I believe that you were sent here for me. Most of them said that. They said, you was put on this bus to minister to me. They felt like I was divinely guided to minister to those older, and I was.
Hell yeah,
but
you were.
But
yep.
The people didn't. Like the people don't realize that wisdom is before your physical body. That wisdom is before all this thinking you know what the rod is. That wisdom is the rod, and you got to know the difference. Everybody ain't made to be at the top trying to tell people about God because they don't care for that authority. And a shout out to everybody listening, Black Power to the family, man. We got to keep the real rod, and the real rod is the authority of the Most High Christ. And y'all got to understand, that is the real peace. That is the real inferno, the real fire that's going to keep consuming. It's the fact that we got to walk in that grace. That grace is what the rod is about. Peace and Black Power.
Peace and Black Power.
Black Power.
We thank Brother Divine for sharing so eloquently a part of his experience, and he has much, much more. He has a vast experience in areas where most bad men do not try. And he's now in Norfolk and commuting between Norfolk and Dallas. So we know what kind of a challenge that is, and dropping in that ATL. But he's bringing Black Power, bringing the youth, and bringing the military option. And many of us are overlooking and driving by. Our most important element is that we make these gains and we position ourselves in these businesses and institutions of learning and build on these things and the principles. You must have a military to put, as I pass that mic on down the line, who's next? Who will step to the mic in favor of our youth at this hour? Black Power, and power to the people.
I got to go.
If you must go, then go. Okay, who is next on the lineup that's in place? Go ahead. We open the mic
brother.
Because the studio. Mm-hmm. And let's see, who else do we have that's live? Let's see. Black Lightning is live. Who else is live? If you all can still hear me.
Hey, brother.
Big,
Iman,
big Money Grip is still live.
Oh, yeah. We all here.
Well, drop it. Drop it. Don't just talk about it. Let's get it on.
Hey,
got
hey, brother,
to know.
Hey,
got
brother,
to get
brother
it on.
Shay, I'm trying to close out. I'm going to leave a call, but I just wanted to leave people with my contact information and also how they can, you know, connect with me while I'm out here. I appreciate everybody. Peace and love, family. So
before you go, bro, before you go, let Big Money get at you one time. I want to thank you for your comments, because that was very enlightening. And I think it's very important that we emphasize that the police department looks at these youngsters with their pants hanging off their ass, and they know that they're coming out of prison or jail.
Yep.
And as a result, they're using that as part of the dummy effect, that they don't have sense enough to pull their pants up. Now, when you go to a job, the question is, are you going to bend over and show the crack of your ass, or are you going to have your pants pulled up? And that's what it comes down to. All I'm saying to you is that we all aren't monolithic. And I said this word three times today. Monolithic simply means we don't all think the same, and we don't. But we do have to be conscious enough to know that if the police is running after you, if a dog is running after you and your pants is hanging halfway off your ass, how can you run? You can't even jump up on a car. Come on. I've seen officers laugh at our youngsters from trying to run from the police, and they're looking at them and they're holding their pants up, and then they use that as an excuse for why they blew them away, because they thought they was going for a gun when they was really holding their pants up. So all I'm saying to you, thank you, brother. Thank you for your comments and your statements of your experience in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for that. But I've experienced that here in Cali, because I'm a OG, man. I'm an activist. I've been an activist since the Rodney King beating. I didn't tell y'all this, but I ain't gonna go into that. I'll say that for another day, another time. But at the same time, I wanted to drop that dime, and that's it. That's all. There's a lot more that I wanted to say about the youth, though. But at the same time, I just want to stay focused on the issues that are pertinent and relevant to our conversation that we're having right here, right now. right here, right
thank
now.
You, thank you. All right. Thank you. I appreciate you, big bro. And I want to say this before I leave y'all with some contact information. And I support the people that are trying to support. So what I do is for the people that are trying to make a change, if their methodology, right, is actually effective to making the change. One thing I study is psychology. I study on how the mind works. And the reason why is because you'll know that, you know, if the person just getting out of jail and they ain't got no money and then everybody turning their face up at them, they ain't got no money to buy no belt. You know what I'm saying? So what I did was I gave what I had. First, I gave them the spirit of the wisdom, and then I gave what I had. My last $20 I gave to that man. So I,
okay,
and
bro,
guess what?
Did I just interrupt
he went,
you?
He went to go,
hold on, what's your solution, though, bro? What's your solution?
I'm
talking
about
all the problems.
Right,
we got
I'm talking about the solution. You got to be graceful. Hold on. I'm
solutions
talking about
right here. We got shiploads and shiploads of evidence of them messing with us through psychology and everything else. What's the solution?
Be graceful. Hold on, King. Be graceful.
I just want a solution, bro.
I'm giving you the solution. I said, I first of all, you got to know the grace to actually know how to get people to listen. You got to know the grace to how to get people to listen. You can't do it forceful the way you feel like is right. You got to do it the way God tell you is right. And that's how a young person going to respect
you
first.
You
got to walk in that example.
On your level.
You got to walk in that example first. You can't
I'm an example, homie.
What,
I can give you a whole lot of
examples.
I'm not
and then the
it, so
second part
a,
of the solution
you
is, if you got it, give.
Oh, come on,
if you
homie,
got it,
come
give.
On, homie,
I told you I gave.
You still
I told
with
you
that
I gave my last
$20.
I told you I gave my last $20.
I heard you come
to me,
sir.
Ain't no talking over
black
man.
Ball.
Ain't no
to interrupt
this,
y'all.
Look, I'm a black guy.
I didn't interrupt y'all. I was just on the line. Oh, sorry, sir, gentlemen. The national chairman had called my name. But I was in the middle of grabbing something, but I see y'all was holding it down. So that's
yes,
a good
sir.
Thing. That's a great thing, actually. I don't know if that was Brother Elijah Divine, but
earlier. I was trying to close out. I was just trying to drop my information. And the brother,
well, no, Elijah, my brother Elijah. Wait a minute, this is my brother Elijah.
No, this is Double R.
They went
this
to, not you, Double R. My is that my brother Elijah? You know that went down to Tulsa, went down to Atlanta with us.
No, no, sir.
Oh, okay. No, because there's another Elijah Divine. Yeah, he went down. He pulled a super move on the security. You know, he had I had two scopes. And he didn't, and I didn't realize there were two on the other side. I said, "Yo, Elijah, you checking this out over here on the left?" He said, "Yeah, I got that." He said, "But did you see over there on the right?" And I said, "This looks like some setup shit." So we got locked
yes,
and loaded
sir.
And ready to rock and sock the motherfucking, you know, in other words, cut the dreadlocks off. But that type of like power. But before I get too far in that, I ain't really come for that. Came for this. Wait.
Yeah,
come
so
on.
y'all can reach me at
Black Lightning. Yeah, allow him to get that phone number.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all can reach me at 903-402, and that's 5605. So I'm giving my number to the community. Reach out to me because what I do, like I said, is I fund the people.
Once more for the numerically pure at heart. There's a guy that was just about to pick up the pen, Brother Divine. He missed the whole number. So let's try that one more time for that phone number to reach our beloved Brother Divine. And he's on the military and the youth. And go right here, sir.
It's 903-402-5605. And y'all can text me. Just put Black Power and, you know, I already know what's going on. And like I said, I fund the people who are trying to get the help out there. That means I have access to the black banks. I have access to the resource. And I will give y'all, as long as y'all ideology makes sense, I'm about helping. And the only way, I heard a brother mention earlier, he said, I can't be in two places at one time. Black Power say that you can be at two places at all times. Black Power say I can be everywhere. Because I am God. That's what Black Power say.
So I hear you, brother, and I just want to come to build with you. I ain't here to fraternize you or scrutinize none of that. I'm here to build with you. I want you to understand that it ain't about our own opinion. You see what I'm saying?
It's
about how we come together and counsel. It's about wise counsel.
Ooh.
That's what it's about. Peace and black power.
One thing, and that's the faith that can move a mountain. The big D for Divine, the big D for Dallas. If he's from Dallas, but I bear witness, he's from all over. And bear witness, power to the people. Thank you for sharing with us tonight here at Black Power Radio as we pass that mic to Brother Black Lightning, Black Power. And thank you so much, Brother Divine. Thank you. And
that's
power
fun
to the people.
Love y'all, family.
Yeah, it's all about Black Power time, y'all. There's so much to be said. And I wanted to say this. I say it like this. Like young man say, you can push that $77 Bakers for us, Dan. And this is the right revolutionary construct. Or as they say, cadre. This is the right one. This is the one where we go everywhere on our own dime, and we can't be everywhere at one time either because we can't. But as an organization, just like that young man said, we can be everywhere at one time. Guess what? We are everywhere at one damn time. Because right now, we at the reparations hearing in California. And right now, we in West Virginia doing men's group. Right now, we over in D.C. Feeding homeless and so much more. But I won't get into that now. Just make sure you keep that young man's number so we can build with him. So here's more that I'm going to give y'all, and I'm going to get on some things, time, because we need that $77 Bakers be hit by everybody. And I figure like this, battle of the sexes, Whitey's master plan, Willie Lynch syndrome on steroids, genocidal plan, and they don't give a damn. So no matter how they slice it, dice it, skip it, and flip it, you get suited, booted, and muted. Woo! Authoritism at all-time high. A weaker man would just say, fuck it. But the nigga like me ain't going to do that. I'm going through the black door. For we going to keep it strong. For those who know, I'm telling you, this ain't just a song. It ain't my profession. This is ain't no confession. So don't get it twisted, and don't get a nigga wrong. This is just a revolutionary song. And say, I ain't leaving the people hanging. Sometimes family disagree, and we'll sometimes we come black banging when they mess with you and me. But the song still remains the same, Black Power to the 10th degree. Black Power salute to the people from me. And like I was saying, we come through the black door sometime to keep our people strong because they ain't going to mess around. And this ain't no song. It ain't no it ain't our profession. It ain't no confession. So don't get a nigga wrong. Black Power. Oh, and now for that song, I want 10 grand. We can go in the studio and do this thing, or y'all can just go ahead, and I want 10 people to spend $100 on $77 Bakers, and we'll be able to do all things by faith, all the faith move mountains, you know? That's why Adam Clayton Powell, when he said, God told Moses, say, what's in your hands? He said, I ain't got nothing but a stick, Lord. He said, well, you know, basically, you're going to take that stick and Pharaoh is going to let our people free because you're not going to beat him with the stick. You know, because all you got to do is raise that stick up and you have a faith that'll move mountains and I'm going to do the rest. So, you know, salute to Double R sticking in there and learning all the 10-point platform and everything. And since I mentioned the 10-point platform, there's a little fine print that we have to realize when they started in long ago. Wait a minute. Hold on. It's an interruption. When they started long ago, it was one thing, just like Elijah Muhammad when it started long ago. It was one thing. And Malcolm X started a long time. It was another thing. And then we get to Khalid Muhammad started a long time. It was another thing. But basically, it's the same song, which is we want what? Freedom. I would say when we want it now. And how are we going to take it? By any means necessary. And if we want the power to practice self-determination and determine the destiny of our community and the black nation. And number two, we want full employment for the people, and we demand the dignity to do for ourselves what we have begged the pilgrim to do for us. And number three, my favorite, we demand tax exemption from these devils, right along with our reparations. That's part of our reparations. Our people, they sold us, they stole us, and God damn it, they owe us. So number three, we want tax exemption. We want tax exemption and the end to the robbery of the black nation by this capitalist domination of the African in all forms of imperialism, criminal settler, colonialism. In other words, if you want to break it down to today's terms, that would be what they call it, gentrification, neo-colonialism, Zionism, and apartheid, and all artificial borders. And number four, we want decent housing. And here you go. We about to hit home with this one. We want decent housing for the shelter of our people. And we want free health care and preventative measures. And this is very important. We want to end the trafficking of drugs, biological and chemical warfare targeted at our people. Might be coming in from somewhere, but then they put it in our people's hands, the ones that will just stand there and feed the poison to our people. So we have to put an end to that, you know. We're not down with that. Well, you know what I'm saying? We run that out of our neighborhoods. We have to be strong enough to stand up to these to oppressors of our people of all forms, whether it be, like they say, outside or inside. If all skin folk may not be my kin folk, because we're not thinking the same. If you're going to poison our people, no, ain't going to happen on our watch. Sorry. Anyway, but see, we don't call police. We just pretty much say, well, we'll just have to, I guess, take it and flush down taller or something, you know? Who knows how deep the shit the rabbit hole goes. Anyway, we want education for our people. That's number five. We want education for our people. I kind of got stuck on number four because a lot of people don't realize when we're asking for decent housing, we're also asking to put a stop to drug trafficking and giving to our people. Now, if they want to give it to their people, keep on giving it to your people. See, they ain't going to give it to their people. They're going to put it in our neighborhood, see, you know. And what they do over in their neighborhood is they get strung out on what, heroin and methamphetamines, and they be having a motherfucking junkie lean like you wouldn't believe. And yeah, what, cops just gone right on past them and make sure the black man taillight is on real good, you know. So number five, we want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this devilish and decadent American society. We want education that teaches us the true history, or we say her story, not their story, and our role in the present day society. See, they don't want our history, our real history put out, because if they did, the people would riot if they knew, if the kids would despise them if they knew. If they know the real history, you know? But I ain't going to get into that. I started to for a minute there. Thought about a lot of the atrocities they've done to us, including Emmett Till, who, by the way, his accuser, Carolyn Bryant, the 88-year-old, they can call the search off now because I know they're somewhere, and it's a little comic relief. It ain't pointed at nobody. But somewhere there's a field marshal still searching for her to give her the warrant. So want to let the field marshal know you can call the search off and scratch her name off and put George motherfucking Zimmerman in there. Now I'm going to continue. Yeah, put George Zimmerman in there and cross Carolyn Bryan off because she died. And just like I said, she's doing an eternal she got a life sentence in hell. She got a life sentence in hell. She gets to rejoin her husband and his brother. They killed a 14-year-old Emmett Till, beat him to a bloody pulp. You know, and we're not standing for that shit no more. And then one of our comrades, loved or hated, one of our comrades was attacked by white supremacists. So we're calling for APB on those white supremacists down there in Ohio. And I'll leave that at that. And that's a serious APB. Or no, we don't say APB, SOS, smash on site. Smash on site. We want number six because it's like take them straight to the sheriff's department or however you want to do it, you know, but there's a warrant out for these people that would put their hands on anybody that they know is a Panther. They're basically, the only people that think they can get away with that is the police, but we've been out in Roxborough behind our brother John, chairman of Roxborough, being hit. We've been down there on they asses, too. So you think if your ass ain't got a motherfucking blue uniform and a shield on that you going to do that to one of ours? And wink, wink, motherfucker. I'm going to leave it at that. We ain't going to talk about it too much on here because there's always war rooms. We want people, our people, number six, we want our people exempt from the military. Why the fuck should we fight for these motherfuckers? They call us nigger. We're going to fight for them? Fuck them. And that's my own little 2 cents. Now I'm going to read what it really says. We want our people exempt from the military. All black men and black women exempt from the military service. Almost done. Because we shouldn't have to defend a racist government that holds us captive and does not protect us. You know, we will protect ourselves from the violence and the racism and the police and the military. And all of their oppressors and by any means necessary. Love that one. Y'all remember that. Number six is where we got by any means necessary. I'm almost done. Number seven, we want to end to police harassment and brutality immediately and the murder of black people. We want to end to the black-on-black violence as well, snitching, cooperation, collaboration with these oppressors, and organized black self-defense groups, which we specialize here in the new Black Panther Party for self-defense and being the minister of defense. There's a whole lot to learn. So we're going to have boots on the ground training in person, Panthers only, and y'all will know where it is, when it is, when it happens. We want freedom. Number eight, we want freedom for the incarcerated of ours. And they keep theirs. Oh, matter of fact, what they do is the statistics say that we outnumber them in the prison industrial complex, which is privately owned prisons where they use us as slaves, you know. And so what they do is they let they have 50 white guys and they have 50 black guys. They'll let 25 of the white guys go and they take all the 50 white brothers and put them away, and then they'll say, oh, 98% of the black population, because they'll let one brother go, they'll say 98% of the black population is incarcerated because they're criminals, and only 10% of the white boys are criminals. You know why? Because they all got let go. It ain't funny, but it's funny the motherfucker. Excuse me, I don't mean to cuss on here, cause, ladies and gentlemen, all of our beloved elders, and a salute to Big Money Griff. I didn't know you were the same age as our national chairman, so we have to treat all of our elders with that highest respect, because, see, that guy that shot the elder, he better be glad a panther wasn't there, because we would have probably, well, depending on what we're using, you know what I mean? I like axes to the back of the head for shit like that. You know, like you throw the first axe at his ass, you throw the second axe at his ass, and by that time you're on top of his motherfucking ass with some old sharp shit that don't even have to make no noise. And they should remember that when they come out here fucking with the elders, especially around me, Minister Defense. I don't play fair. I ain't play fair when I could play fair. I ain't play fair when it's a goddamn it. You going to take your Kung Fu trophy and beat this dude? What are you goddamn right? Anyway, number 8, we don't want freedom for the incarcerated of ours. Got on a little rampage for a minute there, because we have not received a fair and impartial trial ever. It's a release to the lawful authorities of the black nation. How are we going to have an impartial trial with an all-white jury? Or put one black man on there with a cowboy hat on that's listening to Waylon Jennings in the goddamn parking lot? All skin folk ain't kin folk. 9 by 9. We want our people tried by peers. Right on, brother. We want, almost done. We want our people tried by peers and their community. I'm also doing this for you, Double R. Ha ha. I really am. We want our people, because we've been studying it. This brother studies, you know. See, he'll be able to just call it off at random and say, what number 3? And it, boom, he's like, we want tax exemption. Anyway, number 9, we want our people tried by peers in their community, the 6th Amendment, to receive a fair trial. In their constitution says by their peer groups. An all-white jury would not understand the average reasoning of the black man, of the black community. And I'm not going to elaborate on this one because it's just self-explanatory. We want to end to the racist death penalty by these Blue Plus Klan of the United Snakes, SNAKES of America. I want to say $77 Bakers for that information, please. I gave y'all a handful, $77 Bakers. You can always come back into the rebroadcast and listen to this anytime. $77 Bakers, that's a 10-point platform of the new Black Panther Party set down in 1986. By Aaron Michaels and our beloved chairman of all time, the greatest chairman of all time. Well, I can't say that. I can't take anything from Sheikh Imam Akbar, because he's my master teacher, and I've heard the greatest black militant of all time, Khalid Muhammad, say we're going to give him hell from the cradle to the goddamn grave. And I heard our beloved chairman, Imam Akbar, say, it's not wisdom unless you use it effectively and skillfully against your what? Open and vicious enemy. And I'd be remiss if I didn't leave it with, I am. I mean, Lord and Wendell. My one is supposed to be.
A black revolutionary.
I am.
A black revolutionary,
and I'm in the middle of fuck country, yelling that at the top of my lungs, trying to make sure the window down. I'm out, Black Lightning. I'm still with y'all though. I'm always gonna be with y'all, watching over everything. I ain't gonna leave people unattended. It's like leaving a bunch of children unattended. I ain't gonna let one of them run out in the street. Not on my watch. Everybody gonna get home from the mission the way our Sheikh Imam Akbar always got us home from the mission. It ain't going to happen on my watch. Black power.
We thank our National Minister of Defense, our brother Black Lightning, and all of you who have contributed, and your mics are open to drop it like it's hot. and drop it until we drop the lines. Go ahead. Black Power, anyone that's at the mic can pick it up from here. Power to the people. We'll leave it open.
It's open.
That's it.
Oh, man, y'all look, I just want to say, look, this Devil R, look, hey, this Devil R, look, I'm just saying, man, it was a hell of a night tonight, dude. You know what I'm saying? We cracked that.
Damn, skip
it. That's what's on, man. I love it.
Skip me
in
on that goddamn peanut butter jar. My mind. That's right. We kept
all
it
all right, well,
together tonight. We'll be black tomorrow. We will be black with another episode of Black Power Radio, again exploring part two of Are We and How Do We Interact With Our Youth. My. And you can drop it, brother. Double R can use a close with a spiritual advice and keep it strong. Keep it black, but always keep it revolutionary. Oh, my.
Exactly.
Always revolutionary.
I am a black revolutionary. That's what it is. Hey, look, everybody think that. Everybody think that with your fists up. You know what I'm saying? With your grits up, chest out, chin up. You feel me? So that's how we dig in. So look, where you, if you don't leave nothing else, just think about what we all said today. It's a lot of heads came today. This is what it's about. We have to come together. Bump the Jim Crow era. I leave it at that. I yield black.
You're black, and we thank
you. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
For the Double R, brother. Professor
Double
Money.
R, contact me tomorrow, bro.
We had Patricia Muhammad out of Mississippi going into Tulsa. Got us some strong Dr. Truth Bay all over. Feeding every, not only feeding her, I know she fed some people that wasn't homeless tonight. God damn, we're going to start feeding everybody. Homeless or otherwise, anybody that's hungry going to be able to get a meal.
That's
we said it's moving and shaking this WeThePeople.gov. Oh, my. It's a beautiful picture. And fulfill the prophecy and the legacy of what we know is right at this hour. Right and exact with Huey P. Newton, Fred Hampton, Bill Bobby Hutton, and Mark Clark, and all of those great pastors. H.R.A.P. Brown is still in jail. You got to wake up, brother and sister. Smell this coffee so we can get H.R.A.P. Brown out of jail and Mumia Abu-Jamal out of jail. Come on. Let's work this thing right, brother and sister. Keep showing the love. It's the precious gift that keeps giving, and it's the most precious gift you could possibly give is the love. Black Panther love is the greatest love of all, mama. We say good night and keep it tight, keep it strong, keep it black. But by all means, keep it revolutionary. Assalamu alaikum and black power, for I am a black revolutionary.
Black revolutionary.
Black revolutionary.
I am
a black revolutionary.
I am. A black
revolutionary.
All power to God. Free the land. Free the land.
All power
free
to
every
free
black
the
man. Free the land. My.